Grab your notes. So I was driving to work yesterday, and as I was, there's a certain spot that I go down to get to where I work, and there was this huge billboard, and there has a picture of a young child on that, and it said, "Got kids." And my first thought was, well, I've got mine, but some people don't. And so I was thinking about this weekend. We had a whole different service planned and a whole different talk. We're in a series called Survive the Holidays. And as I went through the day yesterday at my job, I thought, that's not the talk. That isn't what God has for us as a church today. So we changed everything. We changed the talk, and we're going to do something entirely different. And the context is something that we all really understand. It's pain and suffering, which, unfortunately, this Christmas, everybody's confronted with. It is a time that you sort of feel like you have a right to kind of push that stuff aside. And it's like, well, this is a time to think about Santa Claus and presents and Christmas trees and eating a lot of food and hanging out with your family. And all of that comes with certain stressors for sure. But it seems like, well, you know, don't we get the one time of the year that we just sort of get to push everything aside and just you know, be as happy as we can, or at least even pretend to be happy. It's even, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get hit with a couple of things, and one that is so below the belt. I mean, it's so hard to shake it. And so I thought, okay, well, let's just step right into it and look at a story about Jesus and this whole idea of suffering and pain and why bad things happen. And there was a Catholic priest that was invited to a dinner with lots of different people, lots of different faiths and different ideas. And by the way, East Lake Church is a church for everyone. So it doesn't matter about your religious background, your family background, you can be rich, poor, it doesn't matter. You can have tons of hang-ups, you can think you don't have any hang-ups, and which you do, but I mean, you know, but this is for everyone. And so he was at a dinner like that, and the question came up. One of the people there, you know, threw it out on the table. He says, you know, I don't see how a loving God could allow bad things to happen. And you know, everybody sort of stared down at their soup because it's such a difficult question. I mean, even the people that, you know, take an atheist position and they're not really sure if there even is a God, and of course they're welcome here, and a lot of times people do come here that, you know, even them wonder about how could you even believe in a God that you say is a loving God, but these type of things happen, like happened in Connecticut. And they put the Catholic priest on the spot. You know, he had the collar on, so he kind of stuck out, and everybody's like, what do you think about it? You know, well, how can you, you know, this loving God, How could he allow the pain in the world, the suffering? And of course, what really matters too is my world. I mean, there's the big world too, and that hurts. But then there's my world. You know, my grandmother who was divorced 5 times and remarried, and sent that into my mom who then had 4 different men, and sent that into my life, and the type of home you grew up in, and the different things that we go through, even when you you know, you feel like you have a Brady Bunch home, or you just there's just pain there. Things catch you by surprise, unexpected. You look ahead into your future, and you say, "Man, I never ever saw that coming." Clarice and I did a wedding. It must be 6 or 7 years ago, and it was an amazing story. This girl had gotten in this really difficult relationship, and she'd gotten pregnant, and then like so oftentimes happens, you know, you forget that sex leads to pregnancy, and you know, she ended up pregnant, and she's like, you know, she has the baby, and then the man, they don't get along, so they break up, and she really had kind of decided, I'm going to raise this child by myself, and I can do that, and I'm just going to go forward, and that's what my life is going to be, and then this guy comes into the church. And he had just gotten out of prison. And he comes into the church, and he becomes a Christ follower. And I always remember him because he had the word "slim" tattooed across his knuckles. He was all tatted up. And we got to know him. And after quite a period of time, he's walking with Jesus. And he starts liking this girl, and she starts liking him. And they get together. And Clarice and I did the wedding. And it was one of those, I mean, weddings are always cool, and believe it or not, I've done gazillions of them, probably way more than 100. So they're always cool. I like weddings a lot, because everybody's, you know, the great day, and here we are, and everybody looks good, smells good, and she's like, great day, you know. And it was for them, too. But it was almost like there was something more. It was like, wow, these people never expected it to get this good. You know, because there is the opposite to suffering. There's the joy. It's like, I never thought I'd find somebody like this. I never thought he'd get along so well with my son. I never thought this would ever happen in my life. And as we were standing there, you sort of got this. Like, they are both looking at each other like, gosh, this is... And then someone called me this week and just says, have you heard about Ed? And I was like, no. And I said, he had a sudden heart attack. He's in his 30s and died. And I thought back to the marriage day. I was like, boy, you know, you're here and then you're here. You know, unexpectedly, this is the great, and then it's like, and I Facebooked her, and she Facebooked me back, why did this happen? You know, and I have the words. Of course, I guess you could have asked her on her wedding day too. Say, well, why did this happen? And you know what? When I stood there on the wedding day with Clarice and we performed that ceremony, I didn't have the words that day either. I was like, how'd something so good happen? And then a few days, how'd something so bad happen? Boy, and that's life. I'm sure all those families that are hurting today, and you know, there's a lot of people hurting, all the people and the school officials, and can you imagine how many people have second guessed themselves and all the different things that occurred? My grandfather raised me, and he was on a bomber crew in World War II. And so he was a radio man. His job was way, way back in the day, you know, before they even could compression the airplanes. And so you went up there, and it was like freezing cold. And he used to always buy Milky Ways and put them in the freezer. And it reminded him of when he was in World War II, because they would get a Milky Way when they would leave. And he would put it on his little radio table, and it would be so cold in this big bomber that it would freeze the Milky Way. And all of his life, I don't know, there was something about it. You freeze these Milky Ways. And he told me this story. He said, you know, one day we were all getting ready to get onto the airplane. You know, we're going to take off this bomber. And we're in a line. And the doctor comes through and he gives you like a last minute check before you're allowed to go onto the plane, because they're going to go up high and there's altitude and stuff. And as he went along, just before he gets to my grandfather, it's nothing. It's a routine. Hi, you're awake. Okay, go, you know. My grandfather coughed. And the doctor looked at him and said, hey, George, do that again. And he said, all right, I got a little bit of a cough. He coughed and he goes, because you know what, you stay down today. He goes, that sounds like it's up in your throat and your ears and you could break an eardrum. You stay down today. And he was really disappointed because the camaraderie, right, that they all have, we all go together and we all come back together. So he said, no, he fights him a little bit and he says, no, you stay down today, George. That day, the bomber crashes as it's coming back into the airport, safe and sound now, back to base. The bomber crashes and every single one of his team is killed. And I remember when I heard the story, I thought, I would much rather be the person hearing the story going, wow, I'm so lucky, than somebody is telling the story a completely different way. I'm so unlucky. How did that, you know? And so there's a story in the Bible that I want to look at, and it kind of captures what this Catholic priest said. The Catholic priest, they weren't being mean, but they put him on the spot. What do you have to say about that? He said, because I don't believe there could be a loving God if these bad things happen in our lives. And he said something to him, when I read it was profound and helped me. He said, well, we believe in a different type of universe. And we want a different type of universe. You want a universe, and you believe in a universe where everything should always work out, and that if there is a God, he works as puppets, and he's like the big puppet master, and he controls everything. And he said, but I believe in a free universe where we make choices, and we're people, not puppets. And there's all sorts of things that happen, and sometimes you feel like the lucky one, and sometimes you don't. But we fundamentally see the universe differently. You see the universe as everything should be controlled, and the best case scenario would be that there's a God that controls everything in our lives. And I have a different view of the universe. I see a God that loves us, but doesn't control everything. He cares, but doesn't control. And right in your notes, the big idea, Jesus cares about our pain. And so I'll play my cards up front. I got home from work last night at 8 o'clock and decided I'm changing the whole sermon and doing everything different. So the whole team got together and did everything. And so, you know, here we go. So just so you know, okay? Story about Jesus. Here, let's read it. Jesus went to a town called Nain. So it's about 10 miles from where he was living. And he's with his disciples, and a large crowd went along with him. Remember I said last week that church is the people, not a building. Jesus had a mobile church. The crowd goes with him everywhere. I don't know if you... how it is you picture Jesus, but I mean, one way to picture him is like you always see him, you know, blue eyes, flowing hair, you know, like Fabio or something. And it's like, that's not Jesus. I mean, he was Jewish, and he walked everywhere, and he had huge crowds with him. So we design East Lake Church so crowds can be with us, so lots of different people can come. And there was layers in this crowd. There was people, the disciples, that already made their mind up. They're like, "Yep, he's the one. He's the one we've been waiting for. We're going to be with him. We're with him. We are all in with Jesus." And then there was other people in the crowd that was a long ways away. They followed, but for them it was almost like a show. Maybe he'll do one of those tricks where he walks on water. Come on, you know. Right? I mean, they were in that place in the crowd, and that's okay too, because here's Jesus will let anybody into the crowd. And so will we. Everyone will always be welcome at East Lake Church because Jesus welcomes everybody. So here's this crowd. I mean, it's a large crowd too now. Think thousands of people. So last time you were at the, you know, seeing the Jazz, or you went to a hockey game, or I don't know, you went, whatever you did, but a large crowd of people, they're all kind of milling around. Here we go, here's Jesus, and, you know, and they're all going, and they come into this town. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. So here's Jesus now, and we don't know from the story even why he's going to the town. They may have just been stopping by for some lunch. I mean, who knows why he's going there? When's the last time you got your plans entirely interrupted by something tragic? I mean, you did not see it coming, and you had a whole, everything was all planned out. I mean, you planned out where they're going to go to college, and they're going to have a... Can you imagine... can you imagine all the plans those families must have had? And can you imagine how they're all sort of spinning around with, well, those aren't going to be the plans. We've all been through that. And sometimes it's not your life. I mean, sometimes it's somebody else's life that you care about, or sometimes it's just something that happens and you're not even ready for it. I have a manager at work, and he was one of the ones that trained me when I first got started, so I know him pretty well. And he has a kind of a small family, and just a couple of months ago, right before Thanksgiving, actually, his sister was giving birth to a child. And I'm not going to overwhelm us with bad news today, okay? I'm not, but I want to kind of set some context of like what it can be like, because Jesus comes in, there's the bad news, it just hits him. And I come to work, and I find out that his sister, who was giving birth to a child, not only lost the child, but passed away in childbirth. And they were healthy. I mean, it was supposed to be in just a few hours, there was supposed to be a baby. And now no baby, no wife, no mom. And my friend and my manager, you know, it wasn't my family, it wasn't my life, and so it wasn't like, you know. But you do have to say, when you come close to that stuff, man, you hug your kids a little tighter. I mean, I went right outside and got on my cell phone, called both my sons. You okay? Everything all right? Everything's good with you, right? You know, car wrecks today? Good, right? Good. Okay, Dad loves you. You know, because you, I mean, you're just, because we get impacted by that kind of stuff. And so here's Jesus, and I don't know how you see God. If you see him like he's up in the sky, and he's just like a boss that tells us what to do, or he's a policeman, or you know he's a judge or something like that. And I guess that maybe all those things. But what I want you to get here is he has a heart, because he's coming into this town for an entirely different thing. And as he walks into the town, large crowd of people now, they're all thinking, "Ooh, we're going to see the Jesus show. Something big's going to happen." And he comes in, and as he walks in, here comes a funeral towards him. So I just wanted to ask the question, along with everything that's occurring, when is the last time everything changed for you, your plans changed, maybe just the day or big time your plans changed, because a tragedy hit and you weren't even expecting it? You didn't even think about it. Your tragedy or someone else's tragedy, but here it is. My friend Danny, I'll tell you, the next time I saw him at work, it was a completely different encounter. It was like, "Hey, what's up, man?" It's like my heart went out to him. Still does. And so Jesus is coming into this town. He approaches the town gate, and a dead person is being carried out. So here they come. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So remember now, the man that writes this, his name is Luke, and he's a doctor. And so back in those days, they had a doctor. And the man that writes this whole history of Jesus, he's a doctor. So he probably was, he puts this little phrase in here. He says, and he's dead, and his mother was a widow, and it was her only son. So this is a double whammy. And have you ever been hit by a double whammy? So it's a double whammy. Now the mom loses her son and already lost the husband. So he had to get a divorce, and almost went bankrupt. It's a double whammy. You broke up with me and left me hanging. You don't like me anymore. You cheated on me, and I'm pregnant. I got fired from my job for no reason, just because there's a layoff, and the transmission went out in my car. That's what's happening, and way worse. It's a double whammy. And she's a widow, and this means there'll be no one to take care of her, and she's all by herself now. She's all alone. And so here they come, and there's a large crowd with her. So a lot of people, it sounds like, a lot of people either knew them or cared. So what you have happening is two crowds meet. One crowd, it's completely unexpected. All of a sudden, they're like, "What's going on here? This isn't a parade. This is a funeral." And then the other crowd is like, "Yeah. That's what we've been doing for the last 2 days. We've been crying and wondering who's going to take care of her and what's going to happen to these kids. And now he's gone." And so the two crowds meet, and Jesus is right in the center of it. Now listen, when tragedy happens in your life, there'll always be a crowd of people around, and they're probably going to do some things that hurt you even when you're hurt. Because there's always crowds around. There's always things going on. Like, there's always people that are going to misjudge. There are always going to people come, and they're going to say things to you, and they're going to have really good intentions, and it's going to be the worst thing you could ever imagine anybody ever saying. And they think it helps. There's a story about a man who was older and lost his wife, and he was sitting on a bench. And this happens a lot. You know how it is with crowds of people. I mean, they want to say something. They want to help. They want to do something. They're trying to do something. And so someone comes and sits down next to him, and they talk. "You know, you'll be able to find another wife someday, and you're still young, and it's not like it's your fault, and everybody loved her so much, and you were such a good husband to her. And listen, she's in a better place now," which, sorry, I'm not with her. And so anyways, talk, and then got up and left. I said, "Okay, you feel better now. Just like try to get over it." And then a high schooler came and sat next to this person. They were at church and just sat there and didn't say a word. Just sat next to this older man, just sat there. And when he was leaving, someone asked him, said, how was church today? Did it help?" He said, "Well, someone came and sat next to me and talked and told me about everything is going to be okay. And I was so glad when they left. And then someone from the youth group, a high schooler, came and sat down to me, and they never said a word. And I was so sad to see them go." And listen now, there's going to be crowds of people around you when you're hurting. And they're going to have varying degrees of ability to help you. Now, here's a tip. One of the best things to do is let your words be few. You know, my friend Shelley, who lost her husband, I didn't know what to say to her. And I didn't ask her if I could even talk to her. I sent her my cell phone number, because here's what I've learned. Even sometimes to say, would you send me your cell phone number? I want to call you, causes people to go, oh, man, I just, for the 100th time, I don't want to talk to anybody. So I've just learned, like, I love you, but I've got a little bit of distance, so my weight isn't on top of your weight that you already have a lot of. So if you're taking notes, I wanted you to jot something just in the lines as you're praying for people, you know, pray for the crowds around them, that they wouldn't put more weight on them. It's real easy to have it happen. And so now here goes Jesus. He's coming into this town, and he sees this mother, and here's what it says, and a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. And that's the part I want you to circle. How do you see God? Do you see God as someone that could cry? Now, please don't see this story like one of those people that come up to you and go, don't cry, big boys don't cry. Buck up, man. It's not what's happening. Have you ever had your emotions so close to the surface that you just know if they start to cry, you're going to start to cry? I mean, it's just like, it's just right there, and you're just like, man, if they start to cry, if they go, I am going to bawl my eyes out. That's what's happening. Or it's like when you go to a little child that falls down and hurts themselves, and they're just crying, they're hysterical, and you want to somehow get across to them, like, I'm here now, I'm going to help, and you go, shh, don't cry, I'm here now, honey, don't cry, it's okay. I think I mentioned this once before. I woke up one night and Kalani, my youngest son, was just screaming out and crying. Middle of the night, you know, just screaming. And I got up and I was out of bed in a second, man. I just flew into his bedroom and I got right next to him. I said, oh, son, it's okay. Don't cry. Dad's here. It's all right. You know, didn't even acknowledge me. Just went back to sleep, you know. But as I was sitting next to his bed, because I thought, well, I'm not going to leave right away. I want to see if he's going to be okay, because maybe the bad dreams start right up. You know, have you ever, you know how that can go, you know? And as I was there, this is what, this is what God said to me. Do you see me that way? Like God said, do you see me rushing towards you when you're hurting and scared? It's dark. Do you see me that way? And you know what my honest answer was? Not really. I usually see you pleased with me when I'm doing pretty good. At least I'm getting a B in life, you know? I mean, honestly, you know, I don't know about you, but I get trapped into thinking God is most pleased with me and therefore most willing to rush to my side when my lifestyle and my choices and my character and the things that I'm, the way that I'm living my life pleases him. Jesus doesn't even know this woman. He doesn't even know these people. He's passing, and you know what? This is almost like an interruption. He could have said, hey, don't you guys all realize, man? This is a big show going on here. I'm Jesus. I even have a title, Christ. I mean, this is pretty big stuff. I mean, I know you're hurting and everything. And you ever had that happen where you try to explain to somebody, this is really big for me, I'm hurting, and they're like, not that big. You should have seen what I went through. They treat something that hurts you like it's a hangnail. Do you see God rushing towards you just because he loves you? So here's Jesus. He stops the whole thing. And it says his heart goes out to her. Do you know when you cry, the chemicals in the tears are different than every other type of tear? You can Google it and look it up. I mean, when you cry, your tears are entirely different. It's a completely different type of tear, and there's natural painkillers in the tears. And last night at like 2:30 in the morning, I was looking at this story, and I thought, gosh, Lord, why would you tell her not to cry? I mean, you made us cry. It seems like it's good to cry. I was just thinking about it, and I wondered if he was just hoping to settle her down for enough to say, you know, those tears are going to help, and not as much as me. Because tears do help. They really do. But if he was just trying to help her just settle down, a little bit, I care and wait till you see. And right in your notes, number one, Jesus responds to our pain. So it's, you know, don't cry. And so think of the scene now. So think of the scene. You know, here comes the funeral. It's coming out of the city, and there's this huge crowd of people that are all around. And some are like, "Whoa, this is random," you know. And then the people that are with the woman, you know, maybe they've heard about Jesus, and everybody, this is quite a thing going on. And then and Jesus stops, and he goes right up to the woman, and he says something to her, and probably people can't hear about it. What did he say? Oh, what's going on? Because this is a real story now. This is history. This is all happening. And so they're all thinking about it. And then this is what it says. Then he went up and touched the coffin. I wonder what they must have thought. It's always embarrassing, a little bit embarrassing, when you know someone's going to try something that the chances of anything happening are pretty slim. It's like you're watching Jesus, and all of a sudden he goes up and he touches the coffin. And here's what it says: and those carrying it stood still. So here's the scene now. Jesus is responding. And his first response to the problem is to tell her, don't cry, I'm here, I care about you. And then he goes up and he touches the coffin, and everybody stands still. And doesn't it seem like this week that like our whole nation has sort of been standing still a little bit? Isn't it amazing how something can hit and it just ripples through everybody's lives, and it's like everybody's just standing still. I mean, you still have to do your thing and sell your products and make your food, and you got to get your children off to school, and you there's tons of stuff to do and everything. But it's just like, you know, you're not going anywhere. You're just sort of standing still, and pain always does that. It's like just feels like I'm not moving. I'm just standing here hurting, wondering how come. And he speaks to this young man. I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. I was almost afraid to do this part of the story, because we all know that this doesn't always happen. In fact, this is rare, you know. I wasn't about to come today and say, you know what? This is what it means to follow Jesus. Whenever you need him to raise somebody from the dead, he'll do it. And all the other things too, like balance your checkbook and get your, you know, it's like, we all know that's not true. And how shocked would we be if we were at this funeral? I've done a lot of funerals. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. And yet, I know he can do it. So isn't the question really, will he? Not can't he? I mean, at the end of the day, isn't that the real question? Could he really change someone's heart? Could he really heal me of something? Could he really cause me to have another chance in that relationship? I mean, that's not the question. The question is, will he? What will he do? Now think here, there's like a moment here where everybody stops and they're wondering. They see Jesus, he goes up and touches the coffin, and they're probably all wondering, I wonder what he's going to do. And you know, that's a very healthy place to be with God right now. I know it's very normal, like my friend, to say, why did it happen? But a subtle shift is, I wonder what he's going to do. Because God's always going to do something. Sometimes it's awesome like this. He does something, you're like, wow. And other times, I knew a man that he had a gift of healing. I'm not going to freak you out, but I am going to tell you the truth, that sometimes God just heals people miraculously. And this person had this kind of a gift, and he would pray for people, and sometimes they would get healed. And I knew this kid since junior high school. He was a really cool kid, but he... As he got older, he developed manic depression, and he was bipolar, and he had these huge swings, and the difficulty in that is people will go off their medication for various reasons, and he did. went off his medication, and he got manic, and he just flipped out. And he got a sword, a samurai sword, true story. This is a kid I know. And he ran through the neighborhood with this sword, and he scared everybody, and they called the police. And he was like so manic and incoherent that he started to charge the policeman with this sword, and he got shot. And he ended up in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the waist down. Well, here's the story. My friend now is coming to a church service kind of like this, and he's coming to this church service, and so I invite my friend, which is a pretty big chance. I said, come, you never know. And so I'm standing there, right, and I'm watching my friend Matt. He's in his wheelchair. It was a big deal for him to come. This dude was a rocking athlete, too, so that's all gone now. And in the sense that he had known it, it's gone. Here comes my friend to pray for him. And there was two there. There was also a family member of mine there that night that had that spiral myosis thing or whatever that nobody knows what it is, but it just hurts like heck and takes all your strength away. And she's got that. And so we're thinking, well, maybe, you know. And so I'm watching this person that prays, and he goes and prays for my friend Matt, and Matt doesn't get out of the wheelchair. And I was like, doggone it. Why did I even invite him? Why did I do that? It just got a little bit of a hope up for him, and then he's thinking, maybe this time God is going to answer a prayer, and I'll get out of this wheelchair, and I'll go back to being the starting catcher on the varsity team in college, which I was before I didn't take my medicine, and they shot me. And he didn't get out of the wheelchair. And I was watching the whole thinking, why did I invite him? Why did I do this? Why did I think he might do something? And then I thought to myself, well, what else are you going to do? You either hope or you die. You either believe that, see, there's a spectrum. He may go all the way and do exactly what you want, or he may do something entirely different, or he may not do anything yet, but he is going to respond. Do you know why we can pray and why we turn to God at times like now? It isn't because he's going to do exactly what we want, because we're not God. It's a free universe. He's like a lion that isn't tame, but he's a good lion. But the reason we pray is because he can do something and will do something. And we're all going to be watching this week, and we'll hear stories and things. Lots of things will happen, and we'll all participate at some level emotionally to see what is God going to do in our country? What's he going to do for these families? How's he going to get in the middle of all this? What's going to occur? Because he will respond. Now, I want to ask you a question today. Let's bring it down from all out there right into our world right here today. So think about, and maybe you're like me, one of the ways you deal with pain is just try to push it aside. But just think, if Jesus all of a sudden, here he comes, he's here now, and you need to get back to the place where you're sure he's going to respond somehow. You know how you do that? You just don't write the end of the story. You just trust that he's going to do something. Because you can miss God when you say, boy, if he doesn't do this. That's how I felt with my friend Matt. I was like, what a stupid thing I did. Why'd we even do this? But I missed what happened in Matt's heart. And I missed, maybe for the first time ever, Matt was maybe able to see, okay, someone loved me enough to bring me here. Someone thought maybe something could happen. I'm going to still believe. I'm hoping still. And what do you need to just hope for? Again, some pain took it away. You don't want to hope for that anymore. But you need to. It could be the craziest thing ever. You may think it's never, ever, ever, ever going to happen. It's so stupid. It's just like, why do I keep thinking that? No, it's never. And I'm just saying, God brought you here to say, I'm going to respond. And if you turn it over, here's the last part of it today. The bottom line is Jesus helps us in our pain. the last part of this story. And so he says that he goes up to the coffin and he touches it, and then he speaks to the dead person. And that's kind of the thing I was hoping for today. If there's some area in your life that's dead, and that Jesus would speak to it. And it says that the boy got up and started talking. I don't know why Luke doesn't tell us what he said. You know, I mean, wouldn't you, if you were writing this story and some dead guy got up and started blabbing, wouldn't you jot that down really quick? You can't believe what this guy said. He got up and said, "Hey, anybody got any pizza?" I was with a guy 2 weeks ago that came to the car lot, and his son got that really bad, like, case of flu type thing that goes around, where all of a sudden you just hyper, like you could die from it right away. Like, he was perfectly normal in the afternoon, and that night they life flighted him. He was in a coma in like 6 or 7 hours. And he had to sign documents saying what he was going to do with his son's organs. He had to plan everything out. It was just like, and this was like in 8 hours, and he was shut. His son is in a coma, and he's like, how does this even happen? And they're in his son's room, and his son is there, and you know, they're just kind of waiting. And he said, out of nowhere, his son woke up, and he just looked up. He said, "Hey, Dad, think I could get some chicken?" And he's like, "What the heck?" You know. But I noticed when he told me the story, I mean, he was all emotional, it's going everywhere, but he got such a kick out of telling me what his son's first words were. I don't know why they left him out. Unless God wants you to fill in the blank. Sometimes it's like that in the story. It's like when you're watching a movie and they sort of cut the scene off and they just sort of let you decide what happens. So what do you think that boy said? Or here's something better. What do you think you would have said all of a sudden? And let's read the last bit of the story. So here it is. So they're all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." The news about Jesus spread throughout the Judea and the surrounding country.